taken away. They're having, because, you know, when you listen to the words, the world to be filled with peace and love instead of hate and war.
You know, they want hell just as bad as they want heaven.
They do, don't they? They have got to burn somebody. Yep, somebody has got to be burnt. All right. If you've got a Bible, I want you to open to two places. Start with Revelations, the first chapter, and the book of Amos. Kind of find those two places, Revelation and the book of Amos. Okay, Revelations. Of course, right now we're in the season. What's our next great day or whatever, holiday or not holiday, but I guess it is a holiday to some, but Easter, that's our next big day, right? And so when you start to see the Scripture as it is truly intended to see, which is allegorical, mythological, mysterious book filled with parables and dramas and great tales, then you begin to open your eyes and you see things differently. But if you go back in the Old Testament and you follow the fabulous stories, and I don't mean that to be offensive, but that's what they are, fabulous stories, you will find that Noah landed the ark on Nisan 17, which is actually equal to our March the 21st, which is the sun cycle to break the winter to enter into summer. Let me just do it this way, so I'll put it up here. Aries, which is March the 21st, which equals Nisan 17. And it's also called Passover because the sun passes over the equator and the days start to lengthen. So that's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, that's not rocket science. That's kind of, it is rocket science, but it's simple, basic. Shouldn't be hard for any of us to grasp that or to understand that, to see what's happening. Now that's the sun cycle, but the sun and the moon are what the Scriptures are about. They're about the two as they journey, and the sun and the moon. And I'm sure that it's not hard for you to figure that out, right? So you know that the sun is masculine, the moon is feminine. I mean, you got that, right? Everybody knows that. But the sun doesn't refer to men, and the moon refer to women. The sun refers to the male aspect in both men and women, and the moon refers to the female aspect in both men and women. That's hard for us to kind of grapple with that because we have ourselves so divided. I mean, you know, and in some churches, the women are on one side and the men are on another side. Did y'all ever go to one of them or no? Did you ever heard of them?
I did. No.
So, but all of Scripture pretty much is about that. And I would call them the two witnesses. I would call them the two anointed ones. I would call them the one that has become two and the two that is becoming one. And that's, you know, that's difficult many times to a religious mind, and because a religious mind is so locked down and closed off by its belief system. So its beliefs does not allow it to do certain things or to think certain ways or to think out of its box of beliefs. So this is the period of time that we're at. I mean, hallelujah. Everybody loves the spring, right? Everybody loves Passover. But, you know, if I just say Passover, immediately you think of a Jewish holiday. You don't think of the equator and the sun passing over that milestone or that marker, and now the days start to lengthen. That's And so what happens as the sun does this, when Noah landed his ark, he landed his ark on Nisan 17. And I don't know why we never see this or we don't pay attention to it. When Abraham found the ram in the thicket, he found it on Nisan 17. When the walls of Jericho fell and Joshua entered in, Nisan 17. When Jesus was crucified, Nisan 17. I mean, you know, you'd think that this constant over and over, this tale over and over and over, you would think that people would grasp what is being said, what is being said. When the Jews went into Egyptian bondage for 400 years, Nisan 17, all of these dates just continually confirm and reaffirm the same truth. And the same truth is about the sun and the moon as they journey together, and they do, and many dates are synchronized by the sun. Many of them are synchronized by the moon. The Passover is synchronized by the sun. Easter is synchronized by the moon. And so that's why Easter always changes. I used to, that puzzled me. I never could figure out, why don't they leave Easter on the same Sunday? And I just couldn't figure that one out. But I always found that somehow or another, nature followed Easter. It used to puzzle me, how does the dogwood trees know to bloom out almost exactly on Easter Sunday? It's just amazing. I always tried to, how does that happen? And it happens, it's a natural phenomenon. It's nature, or it's God at work in synchronicity. And it just always happens. And so it's beautiful this time of year for us to come back and see the allegories in Scripture and to see how that they all dovetail, how that they're all telling the same story. And the story is the story of you as you journey in and through life. And when and as we make that connection, we cross those dots, we put the puzzle pieces together, we begin to see the picture, and it's the picture of me. And then it becomes great and phenomenal, because now I can now see what God was doing, or what God is doing in me and through me. And that's really awesome. So, Revelations chapter 1, and I want you to look at a couple of verses here. Verse 16, Revelations 1:16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Let me draw these seven stars for you. He had in his right hand seven stars, and that's the seven golden candlestick. So there's your seven stars. He had this in his right hand. If you straighten that out, it actually becomes the stick man. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So the two are one. The picture of this picture of the sun, and the picture of man is the picture of the same thing. And I know that might be somewhat hard to fit in our thinking, mostly because our thinking has not evolved, or we just haven't been able to think out of the box. You know, Jesus says in Mark 1, the first thing he said, if you want to comprehend or see or understand the kingdom of God, you have to repent. That just simply means learn to think. Not just thinking different, but just learn to think, because if we think, most likely we're thinking something different. Because you don't think the same old thing over and over and over and over and over and over, even though they say that 96% of the people only think the same thoughts, day in, day out. You know, and eventually that either becomes monotonous or boring, or I guess you just grow old thinking the same old thing. And so to think out of the box sometimes is difficult or different. I'm going to say different, because it's really not difficult to think a new thought. These may be new thoughts to a lot of people, But at the same time, because of their belief systems, these thoughts become offensive, just exactly like that song. That song is very offensive to a religious-minded person, because to say, to imagine there's no heaven, or to imagine that there's no hell, and to imagine that this place could be filled with the peace of God is foreign to the religious mind. So it's hard to allow the religious mind to think that. So he said, verse 16, and he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And so come down to verse 20. And the mystery, everybody say mystery.
Mystery.
Now this is one of the keys, and you'll see this word used a lot. It's over and over. It's the Greek word mysterion. And the word mysterion actually means that which is made known to you by the Spirit, not by your ability to comprehend. So, the mysteries, now watch what he says right here, the mystery of the 7 stars. Is he saying the 7 stars are a mystery? Absolutely. If he says, what he's saying is they are not a history. This is not a history lesson. This is not a history book. It's a mystery book. That is a hard pill for people to swallow. People get really, really offensive if you say it's not a history book, it's a mystery book. And they kind of get a little bit confused with that because they want to go back and they want to look at characters, events, dramas, different things, and say they were historical things when they were mysterious things. They were mysteries being worked out in history. But they weren't mystery. So what am I saying about it? I'm saying it was the miraculous, it was the timeless working itself out in time, just as a demonstration, just to show itself as God. And so, verse 20, he says, the mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in your right hand, and the 7 golden candlestick, and the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. Angels, angelios, some translations may say, and I have a note in my Bible, since it's a note reference Bible, my Bible says it's the pastors of the 7 churches. That's how Dake refers. He uses this word angelios now to refer to a pastor, not a winged creature, not Michael or Gabriel or Raphael or El, or all the other El, the 7 El gods are the 7 El creatures, which are just referring to these 7 angels. So if you go back in Catholicism and you look at the 7 archangels, you're actually referring to these 7 arcs or angles of the sun that create these 7 spheres or whatever. And they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying the same thing. So he's referring to the 7 stars, or the 7 angles, or the 7 angels. Ever how you would like to say that, because it's all saying the same thing. And what I would continue to hammer at for us is that I can recognize that I am the totality of those 7. That I am those 7 functions or facets or demonstrations or examples in the earth to talk and to witness the glory of God. So he says that that these are the mysteries. These 7 stars are a mystery. And the reason they are a mystery is because hid in them is you. And that's pretty mysterious. And once you can start to see that, you begin to recognize that these are referring to me. He says that they are the 7 churches. Now, all of these words that he uses, different phrases, he's not referring to something different. He's always referring to the same thing. And even though we would try to fit this in a geographical location and saying there were only 7 churches in Asia Minor, and of course, theologians have for hundreds and hundreds of years scratched their head over that concept, knowing that there were thousands of gathering places in Asia Minor, not just 7 churches, but there were thousands. So he uses 7 specific places to represent the seven different specific functions of your being. I mean, you know, Ephesus, he goes right on through every one of these functions, and each one of those places or names represent the different functions. Or you can actually say endocrine glands, because they will fit the same way. So if we, you know, once we open our mind to think about that and see that, he calls it the seven churches. Just hold your place right there and go over to Matthew chapter 16. It's the only place that this is used, or first place it's actually used in the New Testament, is that Greek word ekklesia. Matthew 16. And y'all are familiar with this one. I know you are. Matthew 16, verse 17. And he said, Jesus answered and he said unto them, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock, in other words, this rock of revealing, that revelation is where information, the mystery, comes to you via spirit. That's the rock. It's not the Catholic Church. If it were the Catholic Church and they used Peter as the rock, or the first pope, the rock to build the church on, they were off base, because James was the first pope or whatever. And he's not even, James, the brother so called of Jesus, is not even in the succession of popes. And pope is, and Peter actually is a representation of Satan. So if that were true, the whole Catholic system built on Peter is built on Satan. And I know that would kind of really ricochet in the crowd when there are Catholics present. But I mean, it's not hard to see those things or to do research and validate those things, those ideas. And anything I just said there wasn't bad. If I said Peter, I'm not sure what a peeper is, but Peter or people represents humankind. Does humankind function as a Satan in the earth? Well, of course, that's the only way it can function, because it is a negative grounded energy, and that's exactly what Satan is. Satan is a negative grounded energy. It's something that works for you, not against you. Selah. It's hard for us to get that. It's hard for us to get over that hump to realize this is an energy system of God, designed by God to work for me and not against me. The first thing that Jesus does before he enters ministry is he has consultation with Satan. And that's not by accident. That's not because Satan is trying to detour his ministry or distract him from what he's supposed to be doing, or come in right off the get-go and get the upper hand on Jesus. No, it was designed by God. It says that God led him into the wilderness. The Spirit, this is the same thing. It does, right? Did you hear people thinking about that? Oh, my God.
Well,
it
also said he was tempted in the New Testament. He said, you're tempted, you're tempted only tempted by your own lust and desires. There is no outside temptation.
It's within.
It's within.
Yeah, always. It's not wrong. It would be, and I use this illustration, if you put a water system in a house, whether it be brass or PCBP or PEC or whatever you use, the first thing that the plumber does is he throws the water to it, throws the pressure to it, and tests the thing to make sure it's going to work. You don't want to move into it until it's been tested, tempted, and tried. I mean, that's, and why we want to use that in such a negative fashion. I'll tell you why. Because we have been so ingrained in a negative energy church system, religion. Religion has so looked at everything as though it were bad. Oh, that's bad. That's evil. That's the devil. And usually the only reason they're doing that to you is try to put fear in you to scare you. And the only reason they're doing that to you is so they can manipulate you. And the only reason they're doing that to you is so they control you and get you money. So So right here, he's verse 18, I say unto you, you are Peter, and on this rock, on the revelation, that's the unveiling of the mysteries. That's what's happening, unveiling of the mysteries. I will build, or I will confirm, my church, ecclesia. Comes from two Greek words, ek, E-K, or ex, E-ek, E-X. Ek or ex just simply means point of origin. The point of origin. Kleo or klesia just simply means the word or confirmation. So all of these are points of origin where word or confirmation is spoken. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's ecclesia. It's that point, our original place, where if you have a pain in your abdomen and you acknowledge it, just like Connie had a pain, and you acknowledge it, you give ecclesia. You gave knowledge. You acknowledged that thing that you felt. That's what the church is. It's a place of acknowledgement. It's a place of giving word, giving confirmation. That's what kleo or ecclesia means in the Greek. The church is not a place with a steeple and stained glass windows, sorry, Dave. It is definitely the people. But it is also referring to the seven mysterious points in the people. Because all of you have these seven mysterious creative points of energy. God designed them. Part of them are moon and part of them are sun. And it's not really difficult to see the part that is sun and the part that is moon. The part that's feminine, the part that's masculine. The part that's waxing or waning, the part that's stable. I mean, you know, it's just over and over and over. And when you are either in a waxing or a waning moment, it's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It just simply is what it is at that moment. What we fail to do is just recognize it and say, well, I'm waning. So it doesn't mean nothing necessarily. It just simply means that you could say, well, I'm decreasing. Yeah. Or you could just simply say, well, I'm dying. And guess what? The rest of the month, when it goes and passes, I'm living again. So you could say, I'm up, I'm down. You know, big deal. So he says, the seven churches. This is what the revelation, the mystery is about. The stars and the seven churches. The seven points of origin. And the seven golden candlestick. Everything in Scripture, no matter where you go, everywhere you go, is about these different things. Now go with me to the book of Amos. I think I told you we've looked at this before. The book of Amos. Amos chapter 5. And just hold your place in Amos and just turn back there a couple of books to Isaiah, about the middle of your Bible. Isaiah 30. I want to look at something over there too, but let's just look here at Amos. Talk about the mysteries of the seven stars. Amos 5. And you have the Living Bible, don't you, Connie? Yeah, okay. Let's see. George yours is a New International? New American?
No.
Okay. Amos 5 and 8 says, seek him that maketh the seven stars. I'm reading from the King James. What does yours say? Yours is, I forgot what translation. Yours is Peterson?
Young's Literal.
Okay, it's the Young's Literal. Okay. What does it say?
The maker of Kema and Kazil. And the turner to mourning of death shade.
Okay, now say that again. This is 5:8.
The maker of, I'm going to say it, Kema.
Kima.
K-I-M-A-H.
Kima.
They're capitalized too. S-K. Kazeel.
Kazeel.
K-E-S-I-L.
Okay. So you notice hers doesn't. How many of y'all says the same thing as I just read mine, the King James? Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion.
Yeah.
Yours says that?
Mine
says. What does yours say, George?
He who made the Pleiades and Orion.
Listen to that. What translation is yours?
New International.
New International. Do you hear what his said? How many of you know that the Pleiades can be seen on every continent of the earth? Seek him that made the Pleiades. How many of you know also that the Pleiades is made up of seven stars? One of them is called a mystery star. If you look it up, basically there are only six stars visible to the eye, to the Pleiades. But seek him that made the Pleiades. What does yours say, George?
Mine says he who made the Pleiades and Orion.
And Orion. So both of those says Pleiades and Orion, and yours said Kama and what?
Kazeel.
Kazeel. Those are all astrological signs. They're all astrological places, right? And some materials say that we have actually come from the Pleiadian. Some people say that. Some, Zachariah Sitchin's and some different people who read or interpret the cuneiform tablets. The cuneiform tablets leaves that analogy. When you study the Egyptian hieroglyphs leaves the idea and the concept that there were some kind of flying vessels that brought people here. I mean, it's etched in stone in the walls. It's not hard to read it when you just look at it right there. It is. Oh, it don't mean that. I mean, obviously, 3,000-5,000 years ago, they had some different ideas than we have. Why? Was it that they were so wrong or ignorant? Or is it that we are so wrong and ignorant? I'm going to bet you that, and I'm not really a betting person. I don't like to bet. It's too hard to get, so I don't bet it to give it. But if I were a betting person, I'm going to say they were pretty sharp. And maybe we have been dumbed down. I think if the covers pull back and we begin to see the truth of what has happened to us through religion, through the religious systems. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about Christendom. I'm talking about almost all systems on the earth have become very religious. Whether it be Hindu or Buddhist or any of the others, Mayan, they have all become religious because they have realized that religion is a great tool to manipulate and control humankind. And religion is just another way of saying government. And are we figuring it out? I hope we are. I hope we're waking up and figuring out that the government is a tool that tries to manipulate you and control you. Subtly, slowly, over the years it continually tries. You got to realize we do not have the freedoms that we were intended to have 200 years ago. Because if it were true, you would not be paying the taxes that you're paying, both on everything that you think you own that you don't. They just let you use it. Because you don't pay the taxes, they'll come and get it and tell you who owns it. So they just let you use it for a small fee and you think, well, you got something. Okay, Lynn, that's not enough of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the seven stars, the Pleiades. That's what this is referring to. Or what other names? He's using a different name. But it's the same thing. It's saying the same thing. Here it's called the seven stars. Do you think the seven stars were referring to the seven golden candlesticks? Were referring to the seven endocrine functions that create and build a human being in the womb of a woman? What the scripture calls the rainbow of God? What is, I meant to look this up, Pam, and I didn't. What is the fourth scale in the music, in the fourth musical scale? Do, re, mi, fa. Would that be fa? Fa. I meant to look that up to see what fa means. And Also, the sound of it on the piano or a guitar, I don't know how would that sound. What note would that be? Do you know?
Yes.
And aren't there seven notes?
Yes.
In the scale?
Yes, it would be an F.
It would be an F. I haven't done any study or research to research that out. I just had that thought just come through. I would like to know what that, because everything I am putting focus and energy on is in the fourth. This is your heart. And I'm not talking about the muscle that's pumping blood. I'm actually talking about the very core of your being, which that's what the word heart means in Scripture. It's not referring to that muscle pumping blood throughout your system, but it's referring to the very core of your system, which would be the whole thing. From your endocrine function to your pituitary pineal gland. The whole, from the bottom to the top. Your heart is getting the whole, the core of your being in synchronicity. Okay, Amos says, seek him that makes the seven stars, Orion, that turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day work with night, that calls for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Go to Isaiah chapter 30 with me. And verse 26, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26 says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. How does your translation, does it read it the same way?
And the light of the moon hath been as the light of the sun.
Did you get that? Now, you see what he's saying? He's saying the light of the moon and the light of the sun are going to beam the same way. So he's basically saying both of those, light being creative energy, if it wasn't for the light, there'd be nothing here. Right? Nothing. Zero. Zilch. If it wasn't for the light is the creative energy, the aspect of God that causes everything to grow, that causes everything to be. And he's saying right here in this passage in Isaiah, moreover, the light of the sun shall be as the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. Don't you just love that? Shall be what? Sevenfold. Right here's your seven endocrine functions of the, or you can call the seven Elohims. These are the seven gods. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, and Libra. Those are your seven Elohims, the seven creative aspects of God. So, I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to read you something from the Emerald Tablets, which I thought was just awesome. Let me just, y'all just listen to this. It says, Deep in the dark halls sit the seven. Units of consciousness from cycles above. Manifest they in this cycle as guides of man to the knowledge of all. Seven are they, mighty in power, speaking these words through me to men. Time after time stood I before them, listening to the words that came not with sound. You have to think, this piece of material is dated 36,000 years ago. I mean, this is some tremendous stuff. You have to hear it, because this is, I'm pretty sure that from this emanates a lot of great mystery material, i.e. the Bible. Once said they unto me, O man, wouldest thou gain wisdom? Seek for it in the heart of the flame. Seek for it in the heart of the flame. You see, when God, the sun, as it is a flame of fire, when it sparks itself off, that spark is a flame, as is the whole sun. The fire itself in the spark is the same as the sun. It's just like in the in the cup of water, if it's ocean water, is the same thing as the ocean. It's not different. If you go to the ocean and you bring a cup or bucket of water, whatever up here, it's a bucket of ocean water. It's not different. Doesn't change its compound. The only thing that changes about it is just that it's a bucket and not the mass volume that the water, that the ocean is. So the thing about you is you're just a bucket of God. That's all. But you ain't no different than God. You're just a bucket of it. A drop of it. A cup of it. Ever how you want to look at it. If you want to belittle yourself, that's fine. That's not a problem. Once they said to me, O man, wouldest thou gain wisdom? Seek for it in the heart of the flame. Wouldest thou gain knowledge of power? Seek ye it in the heart of the flame. Wouldest thou be one with the heart of the flame? Seek within thine own hidden flame. See, if you're seeking the vastness of what God is, you're going to find it in the little small spark that's inside you. Because it's not different than the mass or the whole. It's the same thing. Many the time spoke they to me, teaching me wisdom not of the world, showing me ever new paths to brightness, teaching me wisdom brought from above, giving knowledge of operation, learning of law and the order of all. Spoke to me again the seventh, saying, from far beyond time we are come, O man. Traveled we from beyond the space-time, from the place of infinity's end, when you and all of your brethren were formless, formed forth were we from the order of all. Not as men are we, though once we too were as men. Out of the great void were we formed forth in order and by law. And again, unto me spoke the seven, saying, child of the light, O Thoth, art thou free to travel the bright path upward until at last all ones become one. I think that's pretty powerful.
There are those who say that the light from the sun is not photons per se, but that the sun is a portal for a divine energy that takes a form. The great solar rays that are coming now are hitting the earth not as heat, but as a vibrant power of energy different from photons. It has something of a divine source which they can't explain. It's not a matter of just something burning like the sun is releasing energy through a nuclear process. It's a portal through which divine energy takes a form that helps us live.
Can y'all hear that? I can hear that. What I hear is that God is saying, because we are in the age of Aquarius, so that age is emanating of its own self a divine energy that raises our intellectual being. It raises us of itself. It's not something that we do or we are doing other than we plug into it. How do you plug into it? Surrender to it. Accept it. Don't fight it. A belief system does not accept and does fight. That's why there's so much war in the earth. The reason there is war between one nation and the other nation is their belief system. Belief systems divide you. Energy unites us. It makes us one. It accepts the other person no matter what they believe.
It's assumed that believing something causes us to plug into something. Everyone is plugged into God.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Whether you know it or don't know it.
If you know it, you can manage it. If you don't know it, you can't grow it.
And that's good. Did you hear that? It's knowing it, plugging into it, surrendering to it, open your mind up to the possibilities of that energy system is what's transforming. What's not transforming is rejecting it, even though you're plugged into it, even though that it covers you, even though that it energizes you, even though it's pouring itself into you.
That's like a lamp. I mean, you leave it plugged in, it's got the energy source, but until that's clicked on, it's not going to shine. It's going to set down and be plugged in.
That's right. Let me read you another just a paragraph from this, the Emerald Tablet here. I think there's 11 or 12 chapters to the Emerald Tablet, or they've broken it down into 11 or 12 sayings, and this particular chapter is called the Seven Lords. And they have one chapter called the Key to Life and Death, and, the Halls of Amiti, another chapter. The Spaceborn is another chapter. The Keys of Magic. If you don't have this book, it's not much. You can get you one. You go on Amazon. If you don't have this little book, it's a little bitty book. And they recommend that you read it at least 100 times a year. It'll raise your consciousness.
Amazon has it?
Oh, yeah. You can get it anywhere.
Memorize.
Yeah. My goal is to memorize it. Because it contains vast wisdom. Light, listen to this, light is infinite and light is finite. That's just basically what George said. And I just read it out of 36,000-year-old material. Light is infinite and light is finite. Separate only by darkness in man. Where does the darkness invade you? Right here, in your heart. This is where you either think like a man or think like a god. Live from below or live from above. Yes and amen to what Terry said a few weeks ago, that everything is good. There's just not anything wrong and nothing's bad. It's only our concept. It's only when you put your thinking process in it that you make it bad. It's not wicked and evil.
I put the words in here. It's called True Colors. And it says, you with your sad eyes, don't be discouraged. Oh, I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all, and the darkness you think is inside you can make you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors are beautiful like a rainbow.
Now, who wrote that?
They had several different ones. I can't remember what her name is.
Okay, now you have to. You got to know. I've never heard that song. I've never heard that.
Let's see if I can sing version. I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors.
Now, I know somebody mailed her one of my teaching tapes, and she got that, because I don't know anybody that teaches the true colors, the seven golden candlestick and the stick man and the rainbow. But that's exactly what that song is about. It's the true colors. And many times our colors are not shining through. Why? Because they're darkened. And just as he says this right here, light is infinite and light is finite, separate only by darkness in man. Seek ye to rend the veil of the darkness. Bring thou together the light into one.
Cindy Lawford.
Uh, Oh, really? So, is the song a popular song or no?
It used to be. Yeah, it was.
80s.
Okay. Okay, well, the 80s, back in the early 80s, I was still doing a lot of religious stuff.
You wouldn't listen to
her. No, I wasn't listening to her. I'd say she was of the devil. She was of the devil. My girls would have got that. I'd have broke that CD. I'd have thrown that out the window. They used to get so mad at me. They'd sneak around and buy, what was it they had back then? That was after the 8-track days, wasn't it? Or was that was cassette days. That was cassette. That was cassette days.
The 70s was the
fact of that beingness is infinite. It means that beingness is virtually everything. Mm-hmm. Everything can only be understood by a finite person. By putting it into little word things that we can talk about. But the infinity is the energy that embraces virtually all things, all reality.
And I would highly emphasize all. In the eyes of the infinite, all is all and doesn't see it as bad, i.e. or evil. We do. God sees it as an experience, no matter how we see or feel the experience is, good or bad. And that's difficult, because in religion we're taught to judge it first. Right, Terry? You got to judge it. And once you put that seal on it, then that judgment, you've judged it good or bad, right or wrong, etc., etc., etc. Then you separated it from yourself, you divided yourself, now they're what they are, we're what we are. I mean, the whole thing is a chaotic mess. The whole religious system.
Infinity is oneness. We develop separateness by religious thought. Or by parental training.
Individually. Everybody thinks they're individual.
Yeah.
We have to fight to survive. Yeah. I have to take from you, even though and you in general, whoever, but I have to take from you in order for me to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. That is the concept. There's not enough to go around because they don't realize there's supply from within. If you knew that you were the supplier, why would you be looking for somebody else to take from?
Exactly.
You know,
since you are the supplier, you're going to be given to them because they are you.
Exactly. And that's what happens. People that are waking up start to feed the people around them. And then they wake up and they start feeding people. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He woke up. Now he's feeding the people. And giving, you know, that's why they weren't becoming alive to the real reality of what the truth is. And it is not a concept where we're individuals and we must take something. There's nothing to take. If it appeared that you had everything in the world and I have nothing, that is still an appearance, which is a lie. It is not reality.
That's an illusion.
That's right.
Yeah. Because it appears to be reality. And if you buy it as that reality, then you begin to separate yourself because that's how you read that. That's how you meted it out. And that's what he said, ever how you want to mete it out, that's how it come back to you. But if you see it as the same thing, then that's how it measures back to you. No separateness. No division.
I mean, if somebody sends you a text message and you don't know the attitude that they sent it in, they might have sent it in a joking form and you're sitting over there skating mad because you think they were being sarcastic or being smart enough, all in your own self. This person might not even have a concept of what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But you judge it to be, oh, they were making a jab at me, you know. Because all takes off, you know, that happens so often because when you're just reading words, you put your own ideas and thoughts and your perception, your belief system behind what they say. You know, so.
And to kind of add or enlighten or go with that idea that Terry's bringing out, If you look at the scripture like it were a text and then try to make it historical, you will completely miss what it was communicated to be. Because it wasn't communicated to be something that's antagonistic. It's a mystery. It's not a history. It's not something that happened as in 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. It's something that is happening. Present tense, always. You can't put God yesterday or tomorrow. God doesn't fit that box. God always is present, always. It's as much God today as it was back then, because as far as God is concerned, back then is today.
The earth is Mother Gaia, and the earth peoples people. The earth is just a fragment of God Himself manifesting as a living thing. The earth is alive. It pulsates at the same rate we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it shifts its pulsation as it's doing right now from 4 kilometers, whatever, to 7. It's moving up 40. The magnetic quality of the earth matches our magnetic quality. Its inner self spins like our inner self spins. Gaia is absolutely alive and conscious,
mm-hmm,
as a great, great, wonderful God-given mother to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know it as Mama Earth.
Mm-hmm.
If we disrespect it and trash it, Mother Earth will trash us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. And I wanted to read about what we just read there in Isaiah. I'm going to reread this from Isaiah, but Genesis chapter 1, but let me just reread this from Isaiah. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, healeth the stroke of their wounds. Now, you here have heard my teaching on the 7 days or the 7 yoms. The Hebrew word for day is yom, or the word yom means life, or fullness of life, or long life, or happy life, or extended life, etc. It got translated for the word day. So my understanding of Hebrews 1 and 2 is the blueprint. I would call it the spiritual diagram that God drew before he formed or created a physical vessel. So if I look at Genesis 1 and 2 through verse 4 as the first 7 yoms, I personally would look at them as a blueprint or a plan. You can look at the blueprint and the plan and say, this is the house. But it's not. It's just the picture. It's the plan. It's the architectural scheme of the house. Genesis 1 through 2-4 is the architectural scheme for the house God built for himself. And then God materialized that in the womb of a vessel that he created to give birth to all of, as George said, the earth peoples, just like the apple tree apples. The apple tree don't have to be trained to apple. The apple tree don't have to go through 7-step program to apple. The apple tree just simply of itself, it's like it's blueprinted in the seed for it to apple. And so every year it's going to apple. And you don't have to make it do it. You don't have to walk around it 7 times. You don't have to say 7 different ohms or mantras or pray, oh God, please let it apple this year. It's going to apple. And the same thing's true with the earth, because it's formulated with nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen. It's formulated that it just simply does that. And that's why you can go in Genesis chapter 3 and 4 and get so confused when you find these boys going finding them a mate in another country, and you're trying to say, where'd they come from? Hello? Have you ever asked that question? You know, you got Adam and Eve, and then they have some kids, and then you wonder, where did these kids, did they marry their sisters? I think in today's world they call it incest to do that. Or did the boys copulate with their mama? I'm not really sure what you call that. I would really call it messed up. That's why, to me, it kind of sounds messed up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those should be valid thoughts that we should be. When we're telling the story to the nursery in the nursery and to the first and the second grade students and children, not only should we tell them the story of Adam and Eve, we should put these thoughts in them so they can realize it's not a literal story; it's a mythological story. Let's seek for the deeper meaning.
The thing that's difficult to help anyone know is that life without consciousness is dead. Consciousness without intelligence is dead. Intelligence has to be infused with photons that make life, that makes the manifestations to live in.
Mm-hmm. And so you have that as a quality of God, because God is consciousness. Even if you feel unconscious or subconscious, consciousness is still present as God. Period. In your unconscious state or in your subconscious state. And I am firmly aware, I think many of us are not, that in the physical form, most of us live unconscious, while consciousness constantly runs your body when you're very unconscious of the fact that it is. What do you mean by that? Your heart's beating and you don't know it. Your fingernails are growing and you don't know it. Your kidneys cleansing and you don't know it. But it's doing it. It's constantly doing it. Why? Because consciousness is intelligence to run your life. And you can't do anything about it other than learn to flow with it. Accept it. And just be what it is. And that song, again, I've not heard that song. I was in the religious thing doing that back then. If that's when that song was written, back in the 80s. Was trying to shake myself loose from the religious system, but it still had pretty good grip on me. I was still thinking us and them in a big way. So Isaiah makes this, at least I hope Isaiah gives you another way of thinking about this in Genesis 1. When I'm talking about Genesis 1, for me it's so obviously clear from Hebrew. Going back into Hebrew, because when I understand, and let me just a little side note, but it's not really, because it's about everything I'm talking about. Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And in the beginning God created the Shamayim and the Aretz." Shamayim and the Aretz. If I were trying to explain that to you, I would say Shamayim, the higher ether, or the higher form of your being. Or in the blueprint, I designed this, the upper part of you, to be like a god. And I would say the Eretz, or earth, the lower part of your being, to be like a human. And so in that respect, I would have said that you are God incarnate. And I realize the only way that that can fit in your thinking because of religion is you said only one has that ever happened. That was Jesus. Which that is a gross error that's been given to us from the manipulation of the words in John 1. I believe it's in John 1:14 when it talks about the only begotten Son of God. And that's all you have to do is get you a concordance. It doesn't have to be great, but a good concordance. And look up the word only begotten, and you find out it's the Greek word monogenesis. And it actually just simply means begotten by one source only. It's referring to the whole human race. The whole human race is begotten by that one intelligent consciousness, God.
And is one. Christ is our life, as it was Jesus.
And Paul said, it's not me that lives, but it's Christ.
That's right.
And can't, is it wrong for you to say that? It should be a joy for you to say that. It should be a joy for you to think that. It should be a joy for you to think, as He is, so am I. As the Father is, so am I. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because we are the one. We're the same.
When He said, come, let us make man, He was talking to us.
Yes, He was talking to us. Did you get that? Us not as separate, but us as it. He wasn't talking to somebody else. Somebody said, well, He was talking to the Holy Ghost and she was His wife. And he was trying to lure her in the bedroom. Let's go make a baby. He was talking to us.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let you be of the same mind.
I mean,
who thinks it's not robbery to be equal.
How can we turn our back on such simplicity?
I don't know.
How can we put the glasses of religion over our eyes and be that ignorant? I don't know either. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Those two champions are what the book is about. The heavens and the earth, the upper nature, the lower nature, the spiritual man, the physical man, and they, as they are merged together, as it says in Genesis 2. And the earth, the lower nature, he's talking about the earth man, the physical, the natural man, and the earth became form and void. It's the Hebrew word tahu and bahu. Actually, it means that the two both become the champions of life. Simply to say, as champions tahu and bahu, as the champions of life, they both will create what they will create. And if they create havoc, they have created havoc. It's not right, it's not wrong, it's just simply havoc. And that's the introduction to this book, this mysterious book. And this mysterious book goes on continually to tell the story of twins, or of two brothers, or two boys, or one boy that has two names. Over and over and over and over, it tells the same story. And then it uses this analogy right here in Genesis 1:14, chapter 1, verse 14. This is on the fourth day, or the fourth note, or the fourth color of the rainbow, or the heart chakra, RRR. Put it any way you would like to. The fourth musical scale. This is what happens on the fourth. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven and to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs of the seasons. You know, look at this in light of what it's saying. The day, that's the upper portion of your being, or you can call it your spirit man. The night, the lower portion of your being, or you can call it your physical man, or your carnal mind. Your carnal mind. Your lower nature. It's your carnal mind that's always pulling you down. It's your Christ mind that's always pulling you up. Do they, Satan, do they struggle? Do they war against each other? Of course they do. They're designed to do that. It's not right or wrong. It just simply is. It's the part of the tension. The earth would not do what it does if it didn't have a north pole and a south pole. If it didn't have a winter and a summer. It wouldn't do what it does. Always. 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 So Jacob has to die so Israel can go. It's the same story. This right here is Jacob that has to be transformed so that this becomes Israel and it's the whole man. If we grasp that analogy, if we can get a hold of that and realize this is what it's all about, it all takes place in the soul, the heart. Because the soul is the divine aspect with the divine print of God in it that also attaches itself, magnetizes itself, becomes one with itself through the ego. The ego that connects to the five physical senses of the natural man.
Is the ego always negative?
No. It is if you let it. But it's not if you don't. The ego is just your connection to your eyes, Your nose? Your feelings? You can let your feelings be any way you want to.
It's just not the supplier. The ego is not the supplier.
It's not the supplier.
When you think it is, it's when you enter into the very...
And that's when you are seduced and drawn into its deception. So he divided the day from the night, and he let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And God made two great lights. Now this is where we're referring back to Isaiah and Amos. Isaiah says that the two lights, the moon and the sun, this is where it's referring to them. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Did you get the picture of that? The moon, which is the lesser light, the only light that it gives is the reflection of the light of the sun. And so the only life that this has, the lower nature has, is the life that it comes from God. But yet when it's reflecting this light and it's trying to tell you from the reflected standpoint of how it is, it has no basis to stand on. It's just reflected light. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. It's nothing bad about it. And he said, this is the evening, this is the morning, this is the fourth yom.
This version says, for God made two huge lights, the sun and the moon.
Amen. The sun and the moon. Let me just read you this and I'll unhook here. Because we are right here at this Nicaean 14, March the 21st. We're in this period of time between now and the next 4 weeks of Easter. Well, actually 2 more weeks. I think Easter's 2 weeks. Because Easter is following the moon pattern, is following the reflected light as it follows the sun, the original light. The soul is a divine instrument that carries the imprint. And I was trying to think of ways to say this with words that would prick you or stick with you. An imprint is something that already has a design in it, and then it's pressed into something. So that it mirrors itself. It images itself. And there's not any difference. The soul is the divine instrument that carries the imprint. Parentheses, impress. And the word impress, I-M-P-R-E-S-S, means stamp or likeness. The soul is the divine instrument that carries the imprint or impress fixed in the mind or the stamp, the design of divinity into humanity. It, the soul, carries the design of the divine into the human form, thus mankind is God likeness. Not in it, but is it. Not going to be, is. The soul also attaches and molds itself as one with the ego or the carnal mind for the purpose of experiencing the five senses and the human journey.
The problem is we think of the sun as a real thing. The sun symbolizes
the real thing. Yes.
Adair is not affected by the sun. She no longer is aware of the sun any more than your mother and father are doing. The sun exists in our earth reality, in 3D reality. It does not exist as a real thing. It objectifies the healing light of he, him, her, it, she, who is the real thing. Mm-hmm. temporary reality, real reality, is infinite and forever.
Amen.
And we are the all, and the sun and the moon are just, they just indicate the difference of light as it shines in our consciousness.
Hmm. Some ancient materials would say, and I don't agree or disagree with this, that we are the experiment of the divine.
Amen. That's right.
And so as the divine experiments as us, through us, it's not anything right or wrong about that experiment. The experiment brings an experience. And we are the living example of that experience. And when we can learn to embrace that, you can take the things that you have measured as ill, you've meted them out as wrong, you have defined them as bad, and you can embrace them, and then your bad will become good. Your bad will become learning. It will become a tool in your hands for greater growth, for healing. And that's one of the reasons that I really recommend Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me. Because she learned to embrace that. The thing that she thought was killing her, she embraced it. And it became her healing. And that's so foreign for us to do that. Say, oh hell no, that's my enemy. I don't need that.
This is God's playground.
Good word. God's playground. And I, in my opinion, this is my lens, humble opinion, God's enjoying his playground.
Absolutely.
And you know what I'd say? We might already enjoy it with
him. That's right. Talking about I'll tell you off subject, but I found something amazing a few years ago, and I started reading some more stuff, and it's brought me kind of back to it. So I was going to tell you guys, have you ever heard of the slit experiment?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Can I use your board one thing?
Absolutely.
And everybody has computer access. Go and look this up. You can go to YouTube and watch this. Any color word. What they did was, They took this machine and they fired neutrons at a piece of material, and they put a slit in it, and then they put a piece of material here that absorbed the neutrons to show where they went. So now let's look at it from the front. So they put a piece of material here with one slit, and then the piece of material that absorbs the neutrons back here. So when they fired the gun, of course they all lined up right here. Okay. Right in the middle, just like you'd expect.
I've seen it.
So then they actually put a piece of material there with three slits, and they fired it, and they got exactly what they expected. All these neutrons hit right here. Somebody put some material there, and for some reason this was still going with a single slit here, and nobody was watching or recording this, but later they came and grabbed this piece, and particles were everywhere. So then they decided, no, wait a minute, this is not possible. This is impossible. So they put another piece of material here and a single slit, and they watch it, and they're like, yeah, it just lines up in the middle. So they left the machine on again, unattended. Everybody walked away. The particles were everywhere when they pulled that piece out. Impossible. So they put a camera right here to record what was going on. Why, when we look away, does it do what we expect it to do? They put the camera, they turn the camera on. They walk away, but it stays single. They said, wait a minute. So with the camera watching, it still goes single. So they turn the camera off. They put a new piece. They fired it again. It was all over the place. This, our belief system is the only thing changing this. When man looks at it and says, that is supposed to be here, it was. If we turn on the camera, it's there. If we walk away and turn off everything, it did. It went. All these particles just passed through this material that's impossible and hit this board back here. They have no explanation for this
at all. It's unexplainable. But I'm telling you the explanation is our belief system. Mm-hmm. This does what we believe. Yeah. We get what we believe on the other side.
Yeah, I read that same piece of material, and when they finally decided what was happening is when they removed themselves from it, their conscious or their thoughts, then it did this.
Absolutely.
Because their thoughts were removed. Their thoughts was what triggered this thing to be in one place or three places.
Absolutely. And it's called the slit experience.
How they thought it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as we, because we know that's reality. Reality is if I fire this stuff through the center, it has to be on the center of that.
As a man thinketh.
So it's a little bit. That's right. But y'all look that up on YouTube and watch the videos. It's really awesome art of pieces of stuff. I mean, unbelievable.
It really is. Yeah, I have seen that, Terry. And that is some mind-boggling material. But scientists were just playing with that.
The slit experiment.
Yep.
But it just goes to show that reality is only perception.
I know HeartMath, which is a, I guess, an experimental organization out in California. They do things like this, but they do a lot of other things with the heart and the energy of the heart, measuring the heart and how it responds to different things. They've done some very phenomenal things with the energy essence or whatever that emanates from you. And that they're also really phenomenal. HeartMath.
A book that you will all enjoy is I Can See Clearly Now by Wayne Dyer. It summarizes his coming into light. It's a very, very fun book to read, and it'll make you cry, it'll make you rejoice. It's his last book, latest book.
Latest book, yeah.
It tells how he was cured of incurable leukemia.
Well, everybody clear?
That's a good teaching.
You can see clearly now.
Before y'all go, I want y'all to see an awesome picture